Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Across the Romaverse. It's episode 131. It's Jimmy and Steve here tonight. Brandon unable to join us, so it's just the two of us tonight. We're recording about 24 hours or so after Roma's 0-0 draw on Mother's Day against Bologna. Jim, welcome back. We haven't had you for a couple weeks, and I guess just in terms of the match, I guess it's kind of what we expected.
Yeah, I would say so. Given how much of a rotation there was going into this Bologna match, I wasn't expecting much. I was hoping for something along the lines of a scoreless draw, which would mean that, you know, Zvilar and the Primavera kids played up to, you know, mid-table Serie A standard, which is what we got. I will say that I want it to be noted that this might be the first time in the history of the podcast where Brandon's out and we didn't get totally crushed. That like, because that's always what happens, that he manages to find a reason to not be around when we lose 3-0, 4-0. But this time around, it was just a scoreless draw. So maybe on that note, we'll be able to like start stringing together some wins regardless of who's doing the recording of the podcast.
Yeah, he ghosted us after the Atalanta match last time, I think, right?
Yeah, that was it.
Bergamo, yeah. So, yeah, you mentioned the lineup. I think it's important in the context of talking about this match, the heavy rotation. It was expected. You put it in the match preview. I didn't even bother doing a probables because you covered it so well in the match preview. This was expected. You know, Mourinho mentioned so many tired players on the roster besides the injured players. So, Svilar got the starting goal. Rodri Banya is the only regular center back in the back three. Cristante was in the center of that back three like he has been for the past few matches, but Smalling and Llorente and Kumbula's injuries back there. Salik played more as a right center back than a right wing back in this one. It was Mizori getting the, I guess, starting debut for Roma at the right wing back. Zalewski at left wing back. Kamara, Tahirovic, and then it was Gini Wijnaldum in the center of the park with Solbakken and Belotti. And obviously, the young kids stand out. Also, what was important in this one, too, I think, was before we even get to them, was Wijnaldum started, played 53 minutes, getting those legs back, hopefully, for the return leg on Thursday, it looks like.
Yeah. It seems like it's up in the air on some of those players for Thursday. I know that it said that Dybala was training outside of the group. I'm a little worried about that. But at the same time, do we really doubt Jose Mourinho's ability to get a 0-0 draw in a match where maintaining a 0-0 draw will result in advancement in the European Cup? I'm not that worried about that. And at the same time, I would also say that I've been seeing so many news updates from the Premier League, from Serie A, from a lot of places about players who are now out for the season because of some injury they suffered in a relatively meaningless match. So I've just been seeing that as like good karma for resting our players every now and then. And the Bologna match was a key example of a match where on some levels it would have been great to have Dybala, Smalling, the like available, but I'll take the draw with the knowledge that we can kind of go into this second leg of the semifinal a lot stronger than we would be otherwise.
Yeah, I think it was important to rest players. I mean, when we went into this match, Lazio had already dropped points. Milan dropped points right before. Atalanta had lost. So Was there an opportunity to maybe try to like claw their way back into the top four race with a win? Sure. With Lazio looking the most vulnerable, I guess, this weekend after Juve and Inter both won. But even if Roma had won, there's still four back with three left. And is that worth playing some of these players? I don't think so. I think it's at this point, really, probability wise, using just pure numbers, got to be more likely to win Thursday and then a Europa League final than to try to claw back from 4 points back with three matches to play, considering Lazio has a pretty weak schedule and all that kind of things that go into it. So I was happy with rotation. I thought the young players, Tahirovic, Masurdi, these guys, Svilar, I thought was pretty good. They didn't look out of place. Roma still kept Bologna to a 0-0 draw. A Bologna side that's been pretty much right around the mid-table position. They're 11th after the draw, so they got bumped down a spot by Torino. But they've been pretty good. And, you know, Orsolini's having a really good season offensively for them. I think he's been one of the, like, not breakout stars, but kind of bright spots in the league for, like, a younger type Italian player. And they kept him pretty reined in, I thought. So, overall, I thought you have to be kind of happy with the performance. Sure, it would have been nice to score, but nobody got injured, right, that we know of, at least. That's going to be a major blow. Guys got some rest. Even the players that came in, like Pellegrini and Mancini, they didn't play a lot of minutes. So I think those are all positives to take from this one.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. And I would also just add, for those of you who have been following Roma for long enough, you probably noticed that Skorupski was in the net for Bologna. Talk about a throwback. But, like, he's also just developed into, like, not a Champions League, Europa League, or even like European level goalkeeper, but he is a solid mid-table goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And if you look at Bologna's stats so far for the season in terms of goals allowed, you know, they only have three more goals allowed than Milan. They only have two more than Atalanta. Like, Roma's been pretty tight in the defense, so they have 11 more than Roma. But they're clubs that are in and around those European spots who have very similar goals allowed to Bologna. So it's not like they were a pushover in the way that you might expect, you know, a Salernitana, a Cremonese, a Sampdoria to be this season. They're a true mid-table side, and being a true mid-table side means that on their day, they can probably beat a top side. And on their, but, you know, the convex is that on their day, they can also lose to a smaller side. So, like, I guess I would say that the fact that Roma was able to get away with a point and was able to play some younger players and get them Serie A experience, that's key for Roma going forward. And until Roma develops more depth or buys more depth, it's going to be key, especially towards the end of the season, for the manager to allow for younger players to play, because that's the only real way he's going to be able to figure out if these young players have what it takes to be in a Serie A environment consistently. And we all know that Roma's finances make it that they can't just have a Manchester City two starting 11s worth of players. Some of these players are going to eventually become like Zalewskis, are going to become like Boves, who are at the very least rotation options and at the most a consistent part of the starting 11. So I liked what I saw overall.
Yeah, I agree. And hey, don't sell Salernitana short. They beat Atalanta Saturday. Yeah, we play them next Monday after Leverkusen, so who knows, that might come back to bite us. But, yeah, I mean, when you compare this to what a team like Milan did after losing the Champions League on Wednesday, then they went out and lost 2-0 against Spezia, you say, you know what, I take that 0-0 and the fact we didn't get embarrassed by that lower-level team or, you know, hurt our confidence going into the return. Like, I think those are good things, too. And, you know, Dybala, he didn't come to this match. I know they kept Smalling out. I know they had traveled to like road matches earlier in the couple weeks ago where you're like, oh, I thought they're not available, but maybe Mourinho brought them along for moral support or whatever. This one, there was none of that, right? It was just pretty much whoever's playing and whoever's available.
Did we ever figure out what went along with El Shaarawy? He was warming up at one point, and then I saw Mourinho say something along the lines of like, he's not even close to being available. I swear to God, I saw him warming up.
He did warm up in this one, right? I could have sworn I saw him too, and I was like, I thought the guy's like done for the season.
I thought he was done for. Like, he penned like an Instagram post where he was like, "I'm really sad to not be able to play more matches." And then I was like, okay, he's done. Maybe not in as definitive way as like Max Kumbula, but like I thought he was done. And to see him in a penny warming up on the side, what's going on there?
Which is weird because I'm looking back at the box score and they don't have him listed in the substitutes bench. I don't know what that was about. Unless he had a look.
Maybe
like
he just wanted
there.
To get some cardio in.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping Fadi Kanté or one of those other young players we haven't seen yet would have gotten a look later in the match, but we didn't get to see him. Yeah, Spina, they rested Spina for the whole match, which I think is good. He's been overworked a bit. You know, Bove yeah. got some – I think for a kid like Bove coming in the 53rd minute, I think these are more good minutes for him because he might need to be relied on Thursday depending on the injury situation along the back. Because,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if Smalling is going to be ready. I don't know if Llorente is going to be ready. It might be Cristante again. So then it's, you know, pretty much Matic, Wijnaldum, and then Bove's your next guy up. So yeah.
But I'm a whole lot less worried about Bove being the next guy up at this point.
Yeah.
And I was about even a week ago. And I think that the first reason that we can point to for that brings us to another match that we should probably talk about, which is, you know, that first leg 1-0 victory over Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, we're not going to dwell on this Bologna match for too long. I think we covered it because
first 0-0 draw.
And one quick thing I heard during the broadcast, it was Roma's first 0-0 draw of the season in terms of Serie A season. So that's impressive to go all the way to week 35 before they had a 0-0 draw, considering Roma sometimes having trouble scoring goals and the good defensive record. So I thought that was just an interesting tidbit I heard during the match. I did not expect that.
Yeah, I was about to make a snippy comment about Rui Patricio, but then I remembered that our defense has actually been pretty solid this year, so I can't do that. So, yeah, I guess that's pretty good that we haven't had a 0-0 draw. I remember, man, it was like the dregs of the Rudy Garcia end of that era of just being like 0-0, 0-0, 0-0. Oh, they lost this time. 0-0, 0-0. And this like stutter stepping to the end of that season and being like, I guess we, you know, whatever. It's so hard to care when it's that many draws in a row. And I will say something about the Jose Mourinho era of Roma. You always find a way to care.
Yeah, well, when he keeps you in cup competitions like this one up into the semifinals for the second straight season, it definitely adds to the caring. So definitely on the draw point, give me a scoring draw any day. I'd rather a defense make a mistake somewhere and draw 2-2 or something than to have a, you know, drub 0-0 over and over and over again, because those are the worst. That's like the old Serie A. I definitely take a few more goals. As much as the old school Serie A kind of purists would rather have like those Catenaccio matches probably, but I take it. I'll take the 2-2, 3-3 exciting ones that we get once in a while. But going back to Leverkusen, overall, I thought Roma played a very solid match. I thought Mourinho game planned very well, which we expect of him. And Roma now in home legs of these two-legged affairs. I think it's got to be pushing 7 or 8 matches now under Mourinho that they have won every time at home. And then what happens, you know, trend-wise has been if they start on the road first, it's either a close loss by one goal or a draw kind of situation. And then at home, Roma finds a way to get a 1-0 win, a 2-0, whatever they need enough to get through. It happens. Or if it's a reverse where like this, they start at home, they find a way to get at least a narrow win, and then they do enough on the road to either nail it down or get a one goal win again. So in terms of what we've seen from Mourinho Roma's now in these two-legged affairs, this kind of fits the bill so far.
Yeah, and I mean, man, what a difference a couple of years makes, because this is the exact opposite of what I was used to for Roma for so long.
You mean just go get hammered in the first leg and have no hope in the second leg?
Yeah, like, and sure, it created some beautiful moments. Like, I will never forget that Manolas goal, for example. I will never forget Roma nearly coming back from another similar Liverpool drubbing. But at the same time, God, that does that weigh on your soul when that happens.
Yeah.
And it makes you just not believe in Roma's ability to win anything whatsoever. Like it was like it was the Bad News Bears style, like watching Roma. And I didn't enjoy it. And so as much as Mourinho gets a flack, sometimes deservedly so, for not necessarily playing like La Magica style of football, we need to start somewhere. And the fact that we can feel like you and I think we would both say that we're feeling relatively confident going forward into the second leg of the semifinal. The fact that we don't think that Roma's just going to have a Roma happened of gargantuan proportions says something about the mentality shift that Roma's been able to have over the past couple years. And it makes me a whole lot more optimistic for Roma's future, regardless of whether or not Jose Mourinho is a part of it. Like, I think that a lot of players who we can expect to be around for quite a while, including Lorenzo Pellegrini, including Brian Cristante, including Gianluca Mancini, I think that those guys have become more battle-tested than, quite honestly, most of Roma's players ever usually were over the Pelotta era. And given that we need as many battle-tested veterans as possible to, like, actually go deep in these competitions, like, they're just developing a level of, I've been there before and we can handle it, that you need to find success, particularly in cup competitions. And that's what makes me kind of happiest about the past couple seasons of Roma football, period.
Yeah, so I think you hit it right there, right? Whether you're a Mourinho fan or not a Mourinho fan, and the way he plays, the style he plays, one thing's for sure, he knows how to get deep into these competitions. And like we saw last year, once he gets deep, how to win them. We're all hoping he can do it again. He's halfway through the semifinal with a positive result. You know, Roma, anything could happen on the road, going to Leverkusen and up in Germany, and, you know, one fluke goal their way, and all of a sudden it's back to all square, and, you know, you never know what could happen. But when Jose Mourinho's in charge of the club and he's pulling the strings, there's a reason he was brought in.
Yeah.
And, you know, he might not play that La Magica football, like you said, but guess what? There wasn't much silverware gleaming from that La Magica in the past decade. There was none
there wasn't.
The past decade. Zero, actually. You had to go back about 13, 14 years to go find Roma's last trophy in that Coppa Italia. So I'll take slightly less exciting football if it means winning. And I know in the league, yes, they're still struggling to finish top four. And it's funny because there's a quote from Mourinho I'll read now in terms of that, because it's kind of like you gotta be happy with one or the other at this point, in his opinion. It's not possible with this roster to get both. He was asked post-match against Bologna, have many fans given up hope of qualifying for the Champions League by finishing in the top four? And he said, the fans should pay heed to my words. When we were flitting between second and third in the league for many weeks, I was constantly saying we should take things game by game. This is because when the fixtures started building up, we wouldn't have the resources to go all the way in both competitions. It's not like we made a choice between Serie A and the Europa League. It's been a case-by-case basis. That's always been our approach. I've been saying this for the last 2 to 3 months. So, you know, he said, we didn't just toss Serie A for the Europa League, but now that push comes to shove, it's, I think, pretty evident that the only path forward is the Europa League, and that's what we saw with Saturday's lineup.
Yeah, I know. I'd 100% go with that. And of course, you know, I'm not the manager. The manager is basically saying that, so of course I'm going to go with it. But beyond that, I would also just add, there's something about the way that a lot of Serie A clubs operate regarding European competitions that really gets me down. And despite Roma's problems in European competitions, and I'm thinking about, you know, all the various drubbings that we've witnessed over the years, you can never criticize Roma as a club by saying that they never cared about those competitions.
Yeah.
And you can really criticize basically every other club, big club in Italy over the past decade, for basically not caring about the competitions. Like, Juve is the only one I can think of beyond Roma who consistently cared, and that's because they thought they could win the Champions League, and it was always very humorous to see them not do it. But the point being, both Milan clubs, Lazio, oh my God, Lazio so much.
I was going to say that team in blue across the stadium, they
just never seems to give a crap. They never care about it. And call me, maybe this is an American mindset, I don't know, but like, they don't give you trophies for placing third. They don't give you trophies for placing second. And as much as I want Roma to win a Scudetto someday, soon, very soon, we had basically most of the 2010s where Roma was consistently getting second place in the league. And it did absolutely nothing in terms of developing a winning mentality. It did absolutely nothing in terms of filling out Roma's silverware case. And it did absolutely nothing in terms of selling Roma to the next generation of players and fans who are looking for a team to support or a team to play for. You know why people like playing for Manchester City? You know why Haaland went to Manchester City? Well, part of it's the ridiculous money, but another part is they win. You want to know why people like playing for Barcelona or Bayern Munich? They win. And you know why there's so many stars who go like direct from Borussia Dortmund to Bayern Munich? It's because Borussia Dortmund's the second best club in the league. But then if Bayern calls your name, you say, I want to go win. And if Roma's able to build out even like the idea of being able to win a European competition, you're going to be able to get better players who will come in, and then you'll be able to say, yeah, we're going to go win a title. And props to Napoli, because they are competing on two competitions. They're making something special over there in terms of like how unexpected their title win is. It's different from Leicester City's Premier League win, but the fact that they've been so good all season in multiple competitions, like, you got to respect it on a very deep level. It's such a nice change of pace. Even if I don't want Napoli to win, like, I can respect it. But that's not the typical way that you're able to build a title contender. Building a title contender takes time. It takes a lot of time. And nobody expected, after losing so many key players over the past couple of seasons, for Napoli to be as good as they are now. If we want Roma to be able to get there, the way we do it is by winning things like the Europa League first and consistently getting in the Champions League football and saying, look, you can come to Roma and win. It's not, you can come to Roma and PSG will snap you up for 50 million euros or Liverpool will snap you up for 50 million euros. You got to be able to sell Roma as a relatively final destination, not just a stepping stone to a Premier League side or a Champions League winning side.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to continue the discussion about the winning and the Leverkusen match.
Okay.
All right, so we're back. So, Jim, I think you made some great points there. Now, it's funny you brought that up because, you know, we finished second for so many years with Roma, right? We were always the bridesmaid, they say, instead of the bride, and it was second to Juve every time, or prior to that it was Inter. And it's funny because on my other podcast, Kicks and Picks, there's been a debate going around because we also talk a little bit about the Premier League. And there's some United fans saying, you know, I'd rather be in United's position and win the Carabao Cup than be like Arsenal, who blew the lead to City and is now going to finish second. No trophies. Like, I'd rather win a trophy than finish second and have nothing. Now, the caveat is if United, they were kind of teetering on maybe not finishing in the top four. So it was kind of like, would you take Carabao Cup and finish fifth and rather than second place and no trophy? And to me, that in that case, I take second place and no trophy. But in Roma's case, I think, I don't care if it's the Conference League, the Europa League, I'll finish fifth or sixth in the league to lift a trophy. And especially for a club of Roma stature who does not win much, right? I think it's so important to win. I'll take that Conference League trophy last year and finish sixth in that situation every time.
Oh, without a doubt. And I would also say that just more broadly, if Rome was able to build up a side that's good enough to go deep in the Europa League, for example, and we know that they are because they have consistently been able to go deep in the Europa League. Like, they haven't won it yet, but a couple seasons back, they did get to the semifinal just like they did now. If you're able to build a side that can consistently go win the Europa League, that gets you Champions League qualification. That gets you the money. And
the carrot's still there.
At the end of the day, what Roma needs more than anything else is consistent cash flow so that they're not stuck in a situation like they were all too often in the Pelota era, where it was like, oh, wow, we have these world-class players. Financial fair play means that we have to sell them. And you need that not only in terms of making sure that your fan base can trust you on some level, because wow, did people get PTSD after losing practically every good player that was not Roman over the course of the 2010s. They really did. And I did to a certain extent. Like, think about it. He didn't have the world-beating career that a lot of people thought he would when he was in Rome. But like, Eric Lamella, remember how heartbroken people were when he left for Tottenham? And he probably was like the fifth most impactful transfer out that Roma had in the 2010s. Like, I'm going through it, and I would say like Marquinhos, Alisson, and Salah are all in their own tier. They're like they're the top three in my mind of like, man, if we could have kept them for an extra 5 years, that would have been something special.
Yeah, then I would even think about like Pjanic, Rudiger, like those exactly players too, right?
It's like, like there are so many, like you can say this as a compliment towards Roma's consistent scouting ability. Roma's never had a problem finding very talented players. Roma's had a problem keeping those very talented players. And the only way you're able to keep them in this day and age is if you're able to consistently qualify for the Champions League if you're Roma. And that's true for most other sides too. Like, look at the mess that Chelsea's in at this point. If they're not able to qualify for something soon, then money will be drying up over there too. And you need to win consistently. And I would much, I'm fine with getting to Champions League football by winning the Europa League and placing sixth in the league. Like at the end of the day, as I said before, they don't give you a trophy for placing second. They don't. They don't give you a trophy for placing third. They give you a trophy for winning either the Scudetto, winning the Coppa, or winning a European competition. And I want Roma to be at least very close to winning one of those three things every year. And the nice thing about the Mourinho era is that we have been close every year. Yeah. We won the ECL last year, and we're very close to winning the Europa League this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's the type of club that I want to be supporting, one that can keep its players and one that can have a puncher's chance at winning a title or a cup every year.
Yeah, and we're not saying like, oh, our goal should be to finish fifth or sixth when the season starts because we're going to try to go far in this European competition. But if, like, in this situation this year, if you are sacrificing table position a little bit to potentially win the Europa League and get a Champions League place that way, it, considering the way the table looked, I think it's worth it because Roma was by no means guaranteed finishing top four if they stopped gunning for the Europa League, right? They could have easily done the same things against Atalanta, Inter, and Milan and taken 2 points out of nine and found themselves in the same position. Because at that point, especially with the Atalanta, you know, that was before they really got into the hot and heavy with Leverkusen. And so was the Milan match. And injuries kind of got in the way. And, you know, you think, like, if the Milan match ended a minute earlier, there's two more points. You know, if they didn't give up the second goal to Monza, there's two more points. And then maybe you have an argument like, oh, you know, this Europa League could cost us top four. But like you said, you don't get anything. I'd rather finish fifth or sixth and hopefully, fingers crossed, win this Europa League and get Champions League that way. Because to me, the winning that trophy for a club of Roma stature that does not win things very often is very important.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's a little more money to go around next year. I don't know what the financial fair play restrictions will be like with Champions League money coming in. But then maybe you could give Mourinho a couple more players added to this roster without selling any big pieces.
Yeah.
And then you let him cook a little bit and you see how high can he take them in the Serie A table? How far can he take them in the Champions League? Do I expect a Champions League semifinal run like ECL and Europa League? Probably not because there's better teams out there. But this Europa League is a tough competition this year. Mourinho said it many times. There's been teams dropping down from the Champions League. Leverkusen dropped down from the Champions League. Salzburg dropped down from Champions League. Roma's had to go through both of them if they can get this.
Roma is the only club left in the Europa League that did not drop down from the Champions League.
Yeah, yeah, because Juve and Sevilla were both there this year, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. We'll get to those two clubs maybe at the end. I don't want to jinx anything yet. But, yeah, I think now if Roma was in the position Napoli was in and maybe they were in a tight race for the Scudetto, would I sacrifice Europa League glory? Of course, because then the Scudetto's in play, right? But Roma was nowhere near challenging for a title this year. They crashed out of the Coppa fairly early again. And I think Mourinho's done exactly what he's had to do here. And he really hasn't sacrificed the league until this past weekend, in my opinion, because he has not like thrown a match where he's just said, here, youngsters, go get it until now when he kind of know he's out of it and we've got to rest players for the second leg.
Yeah. And I would just add as kind of a wrinkle to this, there's no trophies for fourth place conversation that we've been having. It's also an important reminder that compared to the 2010s era, Serie A's gotten a lot more competitive. And I'm not just talking about Napoli winning the Scudetto. Like, the Milan clubs are back. Atalanta looks a lot weaker than they used to be, but they're still not pushovers. Like, there are officially, like, seven clubs, I would say. Seven or eight clubs that are fighting for European qualification in any given season. And that just makes it more imperative for Roma to be one of the few clubs to actively look towards the European competitions as a way to get additional European qualification. You're not going to like as much as you'd like to, you're not going to be able to guarantee that Roma's playing top four football every season. Like, Roma will be building a side that can hopefully qualify for top four every season. And I'm looking forward to that happening, and I think it can happen. However, it's just the fact of the matter that even in the Premier League, or especially in the Premier League, where there are like six or seven clubs who are what we would probably call like a top four side nominally, there's only four slots. And that kind of makes it imperative for Roma to go as deep in the Europa League as possible, to win the Europa League. And because the only way Roma, Serie A gets five slots is if Roma wins that Europa League. So I would say there's a real incentive for Roma to be the one Italian club who gives a crap about European competitions, because I think that so many of the other clubs view it as a way to make additional money, but don't view it as a way to actually win anything. And the thing that I like about Roma recently is that they've really started to view it as a way to win something, as opposed to just a way to, like, you know, improve their bank account by a little bit.
Yeah, and I will say the other Italian teams this year seem to be taking it more seriously besides Lazio, because they, once they fell to the conference league, they kind of threw that. And on their part, they're probably going to finish top four because of that. So credit to them, I guess, for getting top four. They probably wouldn't have done that without crashing.
Yeah, but it sends the wrong lessons, man. I don't want that to be the lesson.
Yeah. So, but everybody else, look, you got an Inter Milan Derby della Modenina semifinal of the Champions League. So those clubs taking it seriously. You've got Juve into the semifinals in the Europa League. So they could have easily punted Europa League after Champions League, you know, not qualifying, right? Because they looked awful in the Champions League. And then Fiorentina's in the semifinal. So it's been a good year in Europe for Serie A. But I agree, historically, in the last 5-6 years, it's been Roma kind of carrying the torch. And that's one thing I've said to people who criticize Roma. You could criticize Roma for a lot of things. One thing you can't criticize them for as a Serie A fan is that they don't try to put some good to the name of the club and the league in Europe. That they have done.
I would just say in general that the one thing that you can never really criticize Roma for is trying. Like, they've got – there's a reason why Paulo Dybala, Tammy Abraham, Edin Dzeko, Henrique Mkhitaryan, all of these players who have played at big clubs before and then come to Roma, or even the players who go to big clubs afterwards. Like, let's talk about Mohamed Salah. Let's talk about Alisson, like Marquinhos. Like, they're very bound to this club because in terms of, like, the intangibles. Or Rudiger, my God. Mm-hmm. I swear, there's not – like – this guy's played for Real Madrid. He's played for Chelsea. Like, he has played for the biggest clubs in the world. Without a doubt, like, every other interview, it feels like he says something along the lines of, yeah, I still love Rome. Like, I still love those fans. And that's the type of thing, like, not to go off on too wild of a tangent, but think about all the problems that PSG has right now. They are a club with all the money in the world. Enough money to buy literally three of the best players of the last 20 years, and one player who's going to be probably the next player, the best player of the next decade. And they can't win anything, and their fans are miserable because, in part, I think they don't have those intangibles. They don't have those things that really bond a city to a club, that bond fans to the club. Like, sure, they've got the Jordan kits that I always think look really cool, but they don't have the intangibles that Roma just so deeply represents. And I think it's a lot easier, just in the same way that I think it's a lot easier to add flair to winning football, I think it's a lot easier to add winning to the deep bonds that a club like Roma already has. I think that it'll take a lot more for Roma to get the winning football, and that's why I've been so excited by the Mourinho tenure. But when it comes to being a club that demands love and loyalty, I feel like Roma's already there. It's the winning that needs to come after that. Yeah. And so that's kind of what makes Roma special. And that's why, I mean, God, how many years have I been writing for CDT? 8 or 9 years. Like, that's why I'm still doing it, because if I was doing this for some club where it was kind of plasticky, I don't think I'd still be doing it. And Roma, for all its faults, is not plastic.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the word when you were finished. I was thinking material. They're a very material club, but they're plastic, basically, right? It's like they're living in that material world where they've kind of had to buy their stature. Man City's been the same thing. The difference is Man City plays in the Premier League, so they get a lot more exposure on a week-to-week basis than just the Champions League, and PSG hasn't done well in the Champions League. And City, that's kind of been their white whale, too. Like, these clubs that don't have the history behind them have had to buy their fans in a way, right? By buying the best players and by winning things and winning the Premier League and Ligue 1 are accomplishments. Don't get me wrong, because you know, Roma hasn't won a Scudetto since I've been a fan. It's been 22 years now. It's longer than I've been following the club consistently.
Yep.
But you're right. The passion of the Roma fan base, like many other clubs around Europe that haven't had the same level of success, right? You could talk about, you mentioned like Dortmund before. Dortmund's got those loyal fans. They've won more than Roma, so I'm not doing an apples to apples comparison. But those fans didn't have to be bought, right? RB Leipzig is an example in the Bundesliga. I guess they're kind of that money club now that other clubs don't like because they're that plastic club, not to the level of PSG or City, but like every league seems to have them to an extent. I guess Serie A doesn't really have one at this point.
Inter and Milan were both at one point owned by billions that kind of disappeared, apparently.
Yeah. But they had the history behind them that these other clubs don't
and they
have.
I did hear that I think like Palermo got bought by
by the City Group, yes.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I could definitely see Palermo being a new age Man City for Serie A.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see down the line. But yeah, going back to PSG, it's, you know, when I first started following Calcio and then obviously the Champions League as a part of it, you know, you saw Marseille, Lyon, those were the clubs in the Champions League from Ligue 1. It wasn't PSG. They had to buy that status. City was nobody, right? City was like a nothing club. It was all Manchester United, and they've bought fans, and credit to the Sheiks and building it up in that sense. And they might win their first Champions League this year. It's very, very possible. So maybe that changes their status a little bit. But I get what you're saying. Like, Roma's got those fans, right, that are passionate about the club no matter what, and the big fan base. And you hear people on TV, Mike Grella said it, Matteo Bonetti said it, people that have been to Rome or people that have family in Italy, and you ask, like, oh, who's, you know, Zio, who's the best place to watch a match? And Grella's asked somebody in his family, and they said Rome's the best place to watch a match. It's not the Allianz, it's not the San Siro, it's the Olympico when Roma's playing. And that is the other thing. Mourinho has brought that passion back along with the reduced ticket prices from the Friedkins. Credit to them. Tip the cap. When everything else is getting more expensive, they've made it more accessible to the fans, which is how it should be.
Yeah.
And I think
this has always been true for stadiums, especially a stadium that you don't own. You're making way more money off a TV deal. Especially in sports these days, a TV deal is how you make money. Like, sure, you love to bilk somebody $20 for a beer when you're at a sports game, but like, the money is coming from the TV deal. Mm-hmm. And for the Friedkins to recognize that and say, look, we need butts and seats more than we need an extra God knows how many thousand euros every week. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? Like at the end of the day, Roma gets a lot more out of having a full stadium than they do getting an extra 20,000 euros or whatever. I don't know how much the prices have been cut, but I can tell you that in terms of building a stronger bond with an even stronger bond between the city and the club, having the tickets be accessible is a huge deal. And when Roma builds a new stadium, which, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, can't get fooled again. I'm hoping that new stadium can actually happen. We've been seeing a lot of green check lights. Been seeing a lot of green lights going in the direction of getting a new Stadio della Roma. I'm cautiously optimistic. But when that happens, it'll be even better if we can get rid of that track and field ring around the stadium, like, and bring the fans even closer, because there's just a special bond, obviously. And Francesco Totti once talked about how winning one Scudetto in Rome is like winning five for Juventus.
Mm-hmm.
I buy that. Yeah. Part of me wants it to be so that by the time that I am 10 years older than I am now, that's no longer a thing. Like, I want Roma to be winning enough that ceases to be as big of a phenomenon. And honestly, I think sometimes Roma has eaten itself and eaten its young in part because of how intense the pressure is to win without the winning happening ever. But at the same time, that's, again, something that you can't replicate with just funneling billions and billions of euros into a team. And I was blown away last year when Roma won the Europa Conference League because, wow, did Rome explode?
Yeah.
And
imagine if it's something bigger.
If it's something bigger, I think it'll be even bigger. And I can't, I'm hopeful it'll happen.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the Thursday's match. We'll preview that a little bit to close the episode. But first, we got to take one more commercial break and then we'll be right back. All right, Jim. So we've talked a lot about what we want from Roma, which is more trophies, right? And the next step toward that is by getting the job done in Leverkusen against the German side. I'm going to read a Mourinho quote in a second, but first, just a couple of little interesting tidbits they have up on Google. They have these little match previews with some like, you know, stats from matches between teams and things like that. Yeah. Some things playing in Roma's favor. They've won after winning the first leg. Leverkusen is now winless against Roma in their last four European matches, two draws, two losses. So anything with Roma winning or drawing would be good enough to get through. The last time they got a result against Roma was the first European match from these clubs back in October 04. Leverkusen has only progressed once from their last 11 two-legged major European competition when they lose the first leg. But the other one was this year in against Monaco. So that this version of Leverkusen, I guess, has kind of bucked that trend. Roma in this has a chance to go to the Europa League final. Last time they've been to a final of this version of the competition was the UEFA Cup in 1991. And here's one on Roma. They've progressed from 23 of their last 25 two-legged ties in major European competitions when winning the first leg. I'm going to ask you a quick trivia. Can you guess the two times? It's pretty much been in our time as supporters of the club. At least the first one was definitely my time. The second one was definitely in your time. Can you think of both in Champions League? Can you think of when they won the first leg and lost the second? It's a crash out. One was fairly recent. I'll give you a hint. Zaniolo featured heavily in the first leg victory.
Was this? You know, I try to black out some of these events from my brain. when the bad ones really happen, I try to forget. For some reason, my mind keeps coming back to Manchester United.
United was the first one. The drumming
say, was it the 7-1? Yeah, I was going to say that was probably the
because the that's the thing one. I think everybody forgets is Roma won the first leg. I think it was 2-1 the first leg. I think they won at the Olympic one. Then they got absolutely drubbed. I remember watching that game on my study abroad. It was my spring break on study abroad, so I was in Barcelona watching this match. One of like two Roma fans in this. Like Irish pub type place. That was not fun.
Yeah.
And the other one, the one I referenced with Zaniolo was the year after the Barcelona comeback. It was against Porto in the round of 16 where they won at the Olympico, the Zaniolo brace. It felt like that was like Zaniolo's real coming out party. And
I forgot about that not going well after that.
Yeah.
I just remember the brace.
Yeah.
And they now I feel bittersweet about the brace too. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And then the last little stat here. Roma have won two of their last 15 matches in Europe away to German opponents, one draw, 12 losses. Those are historical trends. So we're not going to – yeah, Bayern probably featured heavily in there.
Yeah.
But no, this is how Mourinho is looking at it. He was asked, how important is Thursday's match? He said, we've had a great campaign. You can say what you want and draw your conclusions from how it all ends, whether we reach the final or not, whether we finish fourth or seventh. However, the lads have pushed themselves to their limits overall this season. For that, I have no complaints. Today was a tough match against a well-organized side. We picked up a point and weren't under the cosh, whatever that translation is. It must be a British term. In fact, Andrea Belotti had a great chance to make it 1-0. We weren't awarded a clear penalty. The lads did great. And he was asked if Rome was in good shape going into Thursday's match. Will he be welcoming any players back? He said Gini Wijnaldum is fully back in the fold, which was pretty clear on Saturday. We agreed to give him just over an hour of game, but I took him off earlier because when Sleek got injured, I thought it was better to do all three substitutions at once. So Gini is fit, but there are doubts over Sleek. There are massive question marks over Paulo's participation. So with that in mind, it's looking like there was not even a mention of Smalling or Llorente. I'm guessing Cristante is probably in that back line with Mancini and Ibanez at this point. Mm-hmm. We're probably looking at Matic and Wijnaldum in the center of the park at this point. If Salik has doubts, then it probably becomes Zalewski and Spinazzola. if they decide to play cautious with Dybala and maybe save him as that wild card if they need a goal late in the match, then you're probably looking at, what, Pellegrini, maybe with – it could be Wijnaldum sliding up next to him and playing Bove, or it could be Wijnaldum sitting deeper and you could play the double striker look again like they did the first leg. So those are really the only options if those center backs are out, I think.
Yeah, I mean that's not going to be great. I can't figure out if I'm less excited about having both of those center backs out or having Dybala be out. But I think, honestly, that let's give Cristante some credit. He's Mourinho's favorite for a reason. I think that he's shown an ability to rise to the occasion and play out of position as a center back and succeed. Would I prefer to have Smalling there? Of course. But at the same time, actually, I can say that I trust Brian back there. It does get dicey with depth there, of course. And that's the thing. That's the biggest thing that worries me, that I like Ibanez and Mancini, but they're not necessarily the most level-headed guys all the time. And if one of them gets fiery or makes a stupid challenge, what happens there? That's my worry. That's my biggest, honestly, that's my biggest worry about this match, period, that someone's going to do something incredibly stupid and it's going to bring Roma down to 10 men in a position, in a moment where they really can't, and Leverkusen's going to smell blood and that'll be it. Like, I think that if Roma can keep their foot on the pedal and, or even just play good defensive football for 90 minutes, I think that they get through to the final. The way that that doesn't happen is if they make a dumb mistake. If they make a dumb mistake or somebody gets injured or something like that. Like, that's really how I see this playing out.
Yeah, I mean, the thing Roma has to their advantage, of course, is the goal advantage, right? But you don't want to rely too heavily on sitting back too early, I don't think, with just a one goal advantage. Because like you said, one stupid mistake, you know, somebody makes a bad defensive play, you know, I'm not targeting Zalewski, but I think of him because he's not really a defender. We've seen him kind of get caught out once in a while. We've seen some other players get caught out at times. And I agree, though. Credit to Cristante. He's got the most minutes played by any outfield player on this team. He has become indispensable for Mourinho. So for all of the people that do criticize him, and at times he does deserve criticism, I'm saying he's a perfect player, but there's a reason why a legendary manager like Mourinho plays him match in and match out. A player like De Rossi said he'd take 11 Cristantes on the pitch as his teammate every time, right? Like, there's a reason for this. And certainly he's not a perfect player by any means, because if he was that good, he'd probably be out
playing
of
somewhere,
else, right?
Yeah. If he was that good, he'd be at Juventus at this point.
Especially given his versatility and everything else. But he's done well in this role so far. And I think if Mancini and Ibanez can play at a good level, it makes his job a little bit easier. And, you know, Patricio obviously has to be on his game, because we've seen him make blunders at times in goal. But it's going to be a short bench. If Smalling is not back or Llorente is not back, the bench is short. Mourinho's only going to trust so many players, because you got to remember, Solbakken's not available because of FFP regulations for this competition. So it really limits who he has on the bench. You don't have that attacking option, especially with El Shaarawy out injured. You know, he carried some of the injured players on the bench the first leg, but the only two that came off the bench were Wijnaldum and Dybala for the last 15-ish minutes. You know, the rest of the bench was that some of the kids we saw the other day, Kamara, Tahirovic, and Zalewski was on the bench. And then, you know, he dressed El Shaarawy and Smalling and Karsdorp, and these guys were dressed, but they weren't available to play. So that might have just been a numbers game with UEFA. Maybe that was the match El Shaarawy was warming up, Jim. Might have been Thursday's match that we saw him. What's he doing? You know, so unless someone surprises us, unless something develops in training over the next couple of days, I think the lineup is going to be, it's going to be whoever those 11 are. And then maybe you hold that Dybala card if there really are doubts for potential extra time or something, if that's the way it plays out. But there's not going to be a lot of options, that's for sure. It's going to really come down to, I think, how Mourinho manages this match, his usual man management, getting these guys ready. I mean, there's not much to have to get a team hyped up to try to get to a European final, but I think he'll find the words, because that's what he's been good at for his whole career. And one thing's for sure, he's going to be ready from a tactical standpoint.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I would just say that this is a moment where it's very helpful that Eduardo Bove has been slowly but surely developing into a rotation player.
Yeah.
I imagine where we would be if he was just one of the countless Primavera guys who got thrown into that Bologna match, for example. The fact that we can basically say, like, okay, he can start with Wijnaldum and it'll probably be fine, is valuable. And not only that, but he scored in the first leg. Like, I don't expect him to score again if he starts, but, like, still, he's showing himself to be a key part. And again, I've said this, I'm beating a dead horse over here, but the way Roma's going to be able to have long-term success is by taking Boves and turning them into starting material, or at the very least rotation material, because Roma needs to have that depth, and the depth doesn't grow on trees. So like, I'd feel a whole lot less confident about this match if we didn't have Bove in the midfield rotation. I was impressed with what I saw from Celik in the first leg. Is he out, or are we going to be – do we think we'll be able to see him?
He said there were questions over him.
Okay.
To me, I think if he's fit enough to play, I think he starts over Zalewski because he offers more of a defensive stability.
Yeah, I would agree. And just in general, I would say that I feel like I've been more impressed with him recently than prior. Like, I feel like he's been coming out and looking quite good over the course of the past month or so in a way that I hadn't been seeing prior to this.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that that's a positive sign for the long term, because again, we need these guys, especially with Karsdorp out. Like, we need as many players who can play right back as possible. And I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. Zalewski is many things. He's definitely not a right back. So that's been the sad thing. Like, I feel like he's gotten a lot of criticism, and part of it's valid, but the other part is, like, not only is he being played as a fullback, he's playing as a fullback on his least favorite side of the pitch to play, because he can play in the center and he can play in the left, but he's playing as a right back a lot. And you wonder why he's not performing as well. Maybe it's because he's playing defensively and on the right. If Celik's able to come in, that'll be huge. And if Spinazzola is able to put in a good shift again, that'll also be huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So I think we figure Roma's going to play fairly defensively. They've done that all season. Now it's just a matter of holding out. If Roma can get the first goal, I will be super confident that they will be able to finish the job. I kind of hope we could get one before them, obviously, and then before halftime would be very nice. If Leverkusen scores first, maybe it gets a little nervy, but we'll see how it plays out. Now, you mentioned Juve earlier, Jim, and Sevilla. I just want to ask you, if Rome was able to get through to the final, those are the choices for the opponent, right? They played a 1-1 draw up in Turin in the first leg. Juve got a very late goal from Gatti. Would you prefer to have a crack at Juve in the European final or a revenge game against Monchi?
I would much prefer a revenge game against Monchi.
I'm kind of leaning the same way.
Let me just put it this way. Over the years, Juventus has gotten so much crap about not winning European competitions. So much crap. And a lot of it's deserved, because they've done stupid things like sign Ronaldo and sign so many superstars. And it's not actually, like, sure, you were able to win Serie A when it was kind of weak 8 times in a row, with Roma being your main competition, and we sold our best player every summer, so, like, is it really that impressive that you were beating us each time? I don't think so. But they've never been able to translate it to European glory. And I hope that Sevilla can do the dirty work for us and get them out of the way, because I do not necessarily want to see an Allegri Mourinho bloodfest in the final. That could be some of the most disgusting football.
It could be pretty ugly. That could be 120 minutes of grinded out to get to penalties at 0-0. It really could.
Yeah, that could be disgusting. And also, like, I don't really care too much about the Monchi element of it at this point. Like, I think about him like a really bad ex-girlfriend, but like a really bad ex-girlfriend from several years ago, and you're dating someone that you're happy with now. So it's like, not someone that you think about anymore. I don't think about Monchi anymore. I think about, like, having Mourinho. I think about having Thiago Pinto. Like, I'm satisfied with the leadership that we have at the club level now. So, like, I'm not constantly thinking, man, if only Monchi hadn't totally screwed us over, which he kind of did. But again, not the point. So, like, for me, I'd rather face Sevilla. I think that Roma can win against either, but like I would feel more confident against Sevilla. And a lot of that also just does come down to over a decade plus of PTSD of going up against Juventus in like key matches and it being kind of shady and losing 1-0 most of the time.
Yeah, and you don't want to lose them in a European final. You really
don't. No. The slander would be historic if we did. So,
but Roma's taking the title anyway, so we don't. Yeah, exactly. About that.
Hey, yeah. I mean, hey, look, Brandon's not here. We can be ridiculously optimistic, right? So yeah, I'm gonna go knock on some wood after we finish recording. But you know, I do feel pretty good about our chances.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to Thursday. I'm looking forward to hopefully Roma getting the job done. Guess what? If it ends up being a boring match, the more boring it is, it's probably better for Roma at this point with the 1-0 lead. So we'll see. I don't want to say I'm expecting an exciting match because that might be in the wrong way for Roma if it gets too exciting. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Roma hopefully getting the job done and taking care of business. And in another couple of weeks, we could be here talking about, you know, we're prepping for a European final on the 31st. And that'd be a great thing. So I guess we'll leave it there, Jim. You know, we got the coverage coming up, the regular match day coverage, the probables and the preview. And if you didn't get a chance to check out the Q&A I did with the UK Leverkusen fan club last week, you get a little more about the club from that. And, you know, we look forward to coming back and hopefully talking about a win. And whatever happens, it's Salernitana happens at this point. I'm just looking forward to Thursday.
Same. So, and I would just, just one last thing. If any of you buy any pharmaceutical products from Bayer for the next week, you're no longer welcome to listen to this podcast. No aspirin this week from Bayer. You can do the generics. Find generics. Actually, just as a good rule of thumb, buy generics in general. But like, please do not endorse this German multinational pharmaceutical for at least until Thursday.
At least until we're done with the club they own.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you again next week, hopefully with Roma in a European final.